Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We certainly have spent time this week talking about legally what is taking place with the upcoming Chauvin trial and also for the other three officers in the summer. We've talked about it with Kurt Dowd, the minority leader in the House. We've talked about some of the rulings with Joe Freeburg. Now John Harrington is kind enough to join us. He is the commissioner for the Department of Public Safety in our state, and he's good enough to join us. John, thanks as always. I want to get to the plans in a moment, but I want to start with the money debate. You know this well. You worked in St. Paul. You have witnessed these debates before. Do you have any concern that, as the Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety, that all the parties involved will have the amount of money necessary to provide the right amount of security?
Obviously, I'm concerned. We helped sponsor the idea behind a safe account because we were worried, not just for this particular event, but for other events that we're seeing happen across the state, that there needed to be a funding source that local police departments, especially smaller police departments, could know as a secure and safe account that would allow them to commit to an extended period of time. One of the things I think that's different about the Chauvin trial and about these kind of events is that we're asking departments not just to come in for a day as we do normally for mutual aid, but we're asking them to commit for, in some cases, 10, 15 and plus days. So I am concerned about that. But having said that, police and fire have stepped up as they always do. When we ring the bell and ask for cops to come, and we've asked for firefighters to come to make sure that we can secure this trial and we can make sure the Twin Cities will be safe. We've had hundreds of folks do that. We've had many departments that have offered up their services, and they're doing it somewhat on the come because we have not, we don't have a state-sponsored vehicle for making sure they get paid. But we are confident that we will have the right resources available.
So one more question on that, and then the plans. Paul Gazelka, also on this show the last couple weeks, the Senate Majority Leader, made the point that yes, the money will be there, but he felt like the money could be there afterwards, that the bill could come to the Senate and House after, instead of a blanket $35 million to start. Would that work, or does that limit you in any way?
It puts us in a position of having to go back in and asking the Senate, perhaps, and the legislature to come back into session, depending on when this is all over with. And we were trying to avoid that. One of the lessons we've learned from the state disaster contingency account, which funds all of the state disasters, is that having to bring the legislature back into special session, having to get the bill in shape for them in a timely fashion, did hamper emergency managers' ability to be able to quickly get contracts and things done. So I think it's doable. It's how the state patrol and DNR and others have had to deal with our deficiencies when we've done work and there wasn't money in our budgets to do that. But I think the better method is the governor's safe account, where there will be money. It will be there if we need it. It will not require the legislature to come back into session to be able to approve it. And I understand that we definitely need to have proper safeguards, and we need the right audits to make sure that the money goes to where it's going to. But I think the governor's safe account bill was the best way for us to do that.
How have you and your fellow officials involved in this decision arrived at the proper number of people who are necessary for the start of the trial?
That's somewhat art and science. So as a student of history, we looked at where was the damage done last time, what kind of businesses were attacked, where did we have the protests, how large were the protests, and we have worked backwards from what would it take to control that kind of a situation. And we're hopeful that we will never get back to that kind of a situation where we had businesses being looted and fires set and arsons and people, you know, storming government buildings. But we can't be naive to say that that will never happen. And so we have planned for those contingencies, and then we have built an additional response capacity to make sure that, assuming that we have good preventative patrol on the major business thoroughfares and the government agencies and the government businesses, and we're working with our private sector partners in the, and for example, in the grocery industry, I'm reaching out to the banking industry. We're reaching out to the pharmaceutical groups. We're reaching out to liquor stores to make sure that those places that got an inordinate amount of attention last time have their own private security in place in addition to the public security and the policing and the National Guard. But we also are making sure that we have a response force, a ready reserve force that can quickly move, whether it's in St. Paul or Minneapolis, to one of the suburbs if we see incidents break out there.
John Harrington is with us. It's 142. Chad Hartman here with you on Newstalk 830 WCCO. John is the commissioner for Department of Public Safety. So part of what you and others announced yesterday is a joint information center, allowing, picking up on what you were saying, everybody to come together, whether it's cities, the National Guard, et cetera. Will you have the final say in coordinating how that plays out once March 8th arrives?
No, this is a unified command, and unified command by its definition is, it is like that. My vision of this is, I have got Hennepin County Sheriff, I've got the Minneapolis Police Chief, I've got the General from the National Guard, I've got the Colonel from the State Patrol, all sitting at a table. A problem comes to that table and says, we have a group that is beginning to break windows at a location in the Twin Cities. That group will pivot and say, what resources do we have available? What resources do we already have on the ground? And then they will dictate what the response is. Ultimately, that decision will, you know, the final decision maker on that will be the local jurisdiction, wherever that is, whether it's the local sheriff or the local chief of police. They will have the final say. But we will be at the table helping make those decisions, making sure the right resources are available, making sure that we haven't overlooked anything as we're trying to make sure that we can stop the violence or stop the property damage as quickly as possible.
So let me pick up on that, because you answered it partially, that you want to defer to the local jurisdictions. What if you and others feel like the local jurisdiction does not have enough people? I mean, that's part of what took place going back to the days following the death of George Floyd, that a lot of us looked and said Minneapolis doesn't have enough people. Then when Minneapolis reached out, there was some paperwork issues. There was some uncertainty about it. You obviously have months more to plan for this. It's a different circumstance. But what if you do have those differences of opinions and facts about what's taking place?
Well, that's the beauty of having unified command, is that, first of all, no matter what the department is, no matter big or small, we will have the resources of the state, both the National Guard, State Patrol, BCA, and all of the mutual aid at our fingertips to be able to deploy to wherever it's needed. So it will not be a matter that any one jurisdiction has run out of officers to respond. We will have both the the state resources, the local resources, and backup resources that we can put into that situation. So the beauty of Unified Command is it really does give us the capacity to grab resources from wherever we have them and put them to exactly where we need. So we will not have a situation, I'm very confident, we will not have a situation where a department will say, we have no more people to send, and that's the end of the story. When they run out of resources, we will have already started sending additional resources their way to make sure that nobody gets caught short.
If folks want to come down and they want to show up on March 8th, March 9th, March 10th, will you have a specific area for people to come down? And potentially how many people can come down into this particular area?
We will, and that is a lesson I learned from the RNC. One of the things that was very successful at the RNC is we had a free speech zone that was within sight and sound of at that time the X. We will have a free speech zone, at least one, if not more, free speech zones in the area of the Hennepin County Courthouse. So we have already thought through how will we make sure that people's First Amendment rights are in fact protected, so that people that want to come down, who want to have their voices heard, will have a place that they can safely come, they can safely have their voices heard, and that we will in fact be there to make sure that that you know counter protesters or others can't disrupt their ability to have their voices heard. The capacity of those areas I don't have right at my fingertips, but I can tell you that it is something that we thought about early on. It is something that both Hennepin County, the sheriff, Sheriff Hutchinson, and I and Chief Arredondo have talked about to make sure that that as this is moving forward, people's rights will be protected. We want to make sure that they have a vehicle for doing that, and we'll have both public places and designated places ready for them to come.
One last thing, and I'll let you go. People are still talking about what happened the week of George Floyd's death, and it's only going to come up even more when we get to the trial. You obviously were right in the middle of this. Spent hours and hours on it. John, if you could go back and do one thing differently, what would that be?
I think one of the things that we didn't do as early as I would do now is I would have asked for a curfew for the city and the area, and I would have done more collaboration with community groups. What we have found is that when we have this conversation, when we do a community policing approach to protest management, when we ask the community to come out and protest during the daytime, they did. And it allowed us to then be more effective in taking holding people accountable that came out not to really to protest, but to damage property and to hurt people. I think that would have been something we should have done earlier on. And we are actually talking about, should you have a curfew? And we're doing, Nicole Archibald at my office is already starting to reach out to churches and community organizations to make sure that we can have a great and robust conversation with them as to what the expectations they should have. And so that we can work with them to make sure that their organizations, if they want to come out and protest, their voices can be heard.
Always appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much for coming on.
Always a pleasure, Chad. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.